Well, who's ready for God's word this morning? Like, you're really ready. Like, if I was gonna sit down, you would run me down and say, give me God's word this morning. I'm ready. Well, I'm ready too. It's gonna be a great day today. If you'll turn into your Bibles, it's a Galatians 6:1. The Lord has had me sitting here for over a week now, and I believe that there's something powerful that he wants to release into the atmosphere today. Amen? Amen. Well, you know, Apostle and Pastor Don have been out, and we just thank God for the ministry, the apostolic calling on their lives. We thank God for all that they're doing. And can we just honor them this morning? Can I just honor them? Can we just give God a praise for them today? I was 17 years old when they came to Calvary and been with them. Do you know that this week they celebrated 28 years as our pastors? So can we celebrate that 28 years with them today? And we thank God for their faithfulness, amen. We thank God that they have just declared God's goodness over this house, and we're just seeing so many amazing things happening in this house today. So we honor you, Apostle and Pastor Don, and we thank God that we wouldn't be here today without your yes. And so we honor you and thank God for you today. Let's dive into God's word. Are you ready? All right, I'm gonna read Galatians 6:1-10 from the NLT version, okay? NLT, so follow along with me, and your Bibles are on the screens. It says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Now you know why I picked this translation. We just got to tell it like it is. Is that all right? Verse 4, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant or reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Hallelujah. So let's not get tired or weary of doing what is good. At just the right time, somebody say the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Come on, the New King James Version says the household of faith. Look all around you this morning at 10 a.m. at Calvary at 1687 West Granada Boulevard. Did you know that you walked into a household of faith this morning? Come on, did you know that you walked into a family of faith? Come on, we're a family here. Come on, this is a household of faith. So for the next few minutes, I want to speak a message entitled, In This House. Are you glad to be in this house today? Lift up your hands all over this place and let's pray. God, we thank you for what you're doing in this house. We thank you, God, for every blessing that's in this house. We thank you for every person that's in this house today. We thank you that there's miracles in the house today. We thank you that there's salvation in the house today, God. And we come here together as a family. And Lord God, I ask you to anoint me to preach a word. Anoint every ear to hear, every heart to perceive, every mind to know, and to do your word today, God. Lord, let us not just be hearers, but doers of your word. Let it activate encouragement. Let it activate conviction. Let it activate transformation in our lives today, because we know that your word is capable of doing that and so much more. So God, speak to every person in the house in your own way, God, and we will thank you for it and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Can you give him a mighty praise? Come on, lift him up one more time. Praise him on credit. You may be seated this morning. Man, what I love about Calvary is that we are one big family. Amen? We are all unique. Come on, just look around the room. We don't all look the same. We didn't drive the same kind of car here, if we even drove a car here. Come on, we're not all the same age. Not everybody can be 22 like me. Come on now. I don't know why you're laughing, but okay. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, we are all unique and different, but that's what makes it a beautiful family. We all bring something valuable into this house. There's something that you have that I need. Come on now. There's something valuable here because you're here. It's a household of faith. Come on, it's a household of faith. Are you excited to be a part of the family of faith today? Come on, the familia de fe. Come on now. Y'all thought Pastor Yadon was the only one. No, that's all I got, Pastor Isaac. That's it. Come on, the familia de fe. Amen. This is the family of faith today. And here's what I know about families. Families are all different. Come on now. We come in all shapes and sizes. Our families look different. But today I want to dive into this passage that we just read here, into these scriptures, and talk about three things that every family has in common. Are you ready? The first thing that we know about every family is that every family has family struggles. Oh, not your house. I'm just talking about my house and the people, you know, in Calvary Palm Coast. I don't know. But I know everything might be perfect at your house. Everyone just gets along all the time, right? Y'all just sing kumbaya. It's perfect. There's no fighting over the remote. Come on, there's no complaining about what's for dinner at your house. You don't have any instigators or tattletales, right? Not at your house. But in most families, or anytime you get more than one person in the same household, come on, you got roommates or whatever that looks like, come on, there's going to be some conflict from time to time. There's going to be some issues to work through. And it's not always even the big things. Come on, there is big things to deal with, but it's not always. Sometimes it's just the little things that drive you crazy, right? Come on, maybe it's like leaving the toilet seat up. Anybody have an issue with leaving the toilet seat up? I know some of you think that should have been the 11th commandment, thou shalt not leave the toilet seat up. Come on. Some of y'all get so mad about it. What about any newlyweds in the house, or anybody ever been a newlywed? Come on, I did not know until I got married. I've been married September. I will be 21 years, y'all. Praise the Lord. So I guess I told myself I can't be 22 if I got married at 21. I did not know until I got married that I had been making grilled cheese the wrong way my whole life. Come on now. There are some of you that put the butter on the bread first, and there's some of you that put the butter in the pan first. Where's all my butter in the pan people at? Come on now. Where's all my butter on the bread people? Okay, that can divide an entire household, that conversation right there. I'm just kidding. I did not know I had been folding towels the wrong way my whole life. There are like 50,000 ways to fold towels. Come on now. I feel like I could work for a cruise ship now that I know how to fold towels the right way. And it's the same with our church family. We are saved. Everybody saved in here today? I hope so. And if not, you can be saved before you leave here. And we are all family, but we are still human. Come on, everybody has their struggles. Tell your neighbor, even you, even me. Come on, we all have our struggles. And in our scripture today, Paul is addressing the family of faith and the struggles of sin. Come on now. And he says in verse 1, he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." Come on, if somebody's struggling in your household, you try to help them the right kind of way. Because you got to live with them tomorrow, right? And it says, "Be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." Paul starts his address here, and he addresses them as brothers and sisters. He's reminding them, hey, we're all family here. Come on, we're not just acquaintances who show up and say hi to each other on Sunday morning. Come on, it goes deeper than that. We're a family. And when you confess your faith in Jesus Christ, you are adopted into a big, beautiful family. You are adopted into the household of faith. Now, Paul didn't address the elders or the doctors or the counselors when someone in the family needed help. Who did he call on? He called on the brothers and the sisters. And as brothers and sisters, when we see someone struggling, we must reach out. Come on, we must make that phone call. We must have that tough conversation. We must say that prayer and pray them through to victory. Because families are made of people, and people have issues. All people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we can't lose our temper. We can't go off on people. We cannot kick them while they're down. We're not gonna gossip. Come on, we're not gonna slander. Come on, God put us in a family so that we can help each other overcome. Come on now. When one is struggling, we have a responsibility to pursue the path of restoration. So often in the church, we are quick to judge those who are struggling. And people often come in carrying these struggles and feel like they either have to leave the church or hide their sins. The enemy uses guilt and shame to keep us trapped in a prison where we continually wound ourselves over and over and over again because we keep it to ourselves. But if you're in this room today and you are struggling with sin, don't regress, don't digress, you need to confess. Confession breaks the cycle of sin. Come on, it could be the smallest tendency or the biggest thing that you are so ashamed to talk about in this room today. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the key there is confession. Come on, Jesus already did the work of forgiveness. We must do the work of confessing. We do the confessing and he does the cleansing. Hallelujah. Stop trying to clean yourself up. Come on, let Jesus do it. So many people try to get free in their own power, in their own strength. They think they got it this time and they fall again over and over again. If you think you can deal with it on your own and no one will ever know, then you will always keep falling back into the same cycles and sin patterns. The Bible doesn't tell us to just confess our sins to God, but James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Come on, we can come to the altar over and over, and if we don't tell somebody, oftentimes we just pick it right back up again. But if we tell somebody, that doesn't let us walk out alone, it can change everything. Why? Because the Bible says if we confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed, that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So the enemy wants to keep you silent because he knows that if you tell the right person, he's done. Come on, he knows that if you tell a righteous person, come on, the prayer of the righteous has great power and produces wonderful results. So if you're struggling with sin, find yourself an intercessor. Find yourself a spiritual mama or daddy. Go to an altar worker, a pastor, find a Christian friend, someone who knows and who will stand in the gap for you, and their prayer will availeth much. They can pray you through. Your home should be a safe place of open conversation where you don't freak out about every mistake. And the household of faith should be the same so that people who are struggling are drawn to repentance. Come on, it's kindness that leads people to repentance. The enemy wants to isolate you and make you feel like you are the only one who struggles, who are ever struggled, like no one will understand. But I want you to know today that we all have struggled and struggle. And there are none of us in this place who can push you away or throw the stone. We will embrace you with the grace of Jesus Christ. And as long as you are willing to own it and walk it out, we're going to say you don't have to walk it out alone. And Paul instructs the brothers to gently restore those who are struggling with sin. That's what the Bible says. The original word there for restore signifies to set in joint as a dislocated bone. So the bone isn't broken. It's not useless. It's just out of place. Sin will cause you to get disconnected, to feel off track and out of place. Come on, that's why when you come into the room or you get around certain atmospheres, something stirs up within you. You said, I don't belong here. Guilt and shame and condemnation will make you feel out of place. You are disconnected and disjointed because of your sin. And a dislocated joint is extremely painful. You cannot function at the capacity that you are built and made to function in as long as you are out of alignment and out of joint. My son, when he was young, had something called nursemaid's elbow. And that's when children are young, their elbow can pop out of joint very easily. The first time that happened, we were so scared. We thought his bone was completely broken because he was screaming in pain. Him and my daughter were playing and kind of pulling back and forth, and it popped out of socket. And we took him to the doctors, and we thought it was just going to be this whole big thing. And the doctor said, I think it's just out of joint. And so he pulled that arm into alignment and popped it back in, and we went about our way. Thank you, Jesus. And that happened like 3 times after that, and I had to do it myself. Come on, that's a little scary. But you know why? It hasn't happened. Now he's 11. It doesn't happen anymore. They say it's because he was still growing. Come on, and we got to help people who are still growing. Come on, when things get out of joint, we've got to be willing to get uncomfortable. Come on, that's not comfortable trying to pop that back in. But we got to be willing to get them back in place because we are a body, the Bible says. And when one member of the body is dislocated or struggling or off track, it affects the whole family. Your sin does not just affect you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are one body with many parts. The human body has, it says in verse 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the one whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. Jump to verse 18. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Now go to verse 26. If one part struggles, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Come on, tell your neighbor, you're a part of it. I'm a part of it. Come on, we are all one body, and every person matters. We must restore with a spirit of gentleness and meekness. We must pull people closer in and not push them away. Sometimes it gets messy, but a family gets in the mess together. Come on now. Come on, a family, you'll do things for your family that you won't do for nobody else. Come on now. A family surrounds those who are struggling and says, we got you. Come on now. You're gonna make it through and you're gonna be better in Jesus' name. Come on, we're going to help people get to heaven. We're not going to let nothing hinder. Not backbiting, not gossip. Come on, not in this house. In this house, we don't ignore sin. In this house, we deal with sin, and we make every effort to restore the person who has sinned. Come on, my husband tells my 6-year-old daughter all the time, he says, make a good choice. Come on, we're gonna help people make a good choice. Come on now. We are family, and there are things that we do as a family because we love each other and because we believe in each other. Amen? And so Paul said, when you go to judge someone, consider yourself. Remember what God has already rescued you from. Come on now. Don't forget the mistakes that you have made. Come on, they're not held against you, but just remember for a minute. Come on. And don't forget that you are capable of making more. Don't ever let yourself get to a place where you think, that can never happen to me. Come on now. We got to stay humble. We got to stay accountable. We got to stay in a posture where the Lord can work in our hearts. Because in this house, people are delivered. Amen? In this house, people are set free. And in this house, people are restored. Do you believe that? Now, as brothers and sisters, we will overcome family struggles. Amen? Why? Because we have something. We have number two. We have family strength. Come on, every family has a family strength. There's a special strength that families have. A good family has each other's back. Come on, I got your back. A good family will help share the load. Come on, they will play to each member's strength. They will realize what everyone has to offer, and it makes the family better. I thank God. I know I talked about the grilled cheese, but I really have me a good husband. Come on now. Thank God he does the dishes. Hallelujah. Sometimes he does the laundry. And if he does the laundry, I don't care how he folds the towels. Come on, if you're doing the laundry. And even better, he changes diapers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we help each other. We do our part. But even deeper than that, there's been seasons that we've walked through in our family and in our marriage and in our lives. Come on, where we've had to lean on one another. Come on, he walked through a season of anxiety where I carried more of the load in the household. I walked through a season where I was caring for my mother for months and months and months and not at home. And he was dad and mom to our kids. Come on, we step up when we gotta step up. We bear one another's burdens. Come on, we wouldn't have made it through those times unless we could have helped each other carry the load. And it's the same way, even as we were in those seasons, we couldn't even do it ourselves as a couple. There were people in the church who would bring us meals. There were people who would give rides to our kids. There were people that would come and give me a break so I can go visit my kids. They would come and take care of my mama. There were people in this body today, and if I had the time, I would stand each one up and say thank you because they helped carry the load that even our family couldn't carry on our own. Because that's the strength of being a part of God's family. Come on, we serve one another. We bear one another's burdens. We are in this thing together. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, lean on me. Come on, y'all know that song. When you're not strong, I'll be your friend and I'll help you carry on. Come on, we all need somebody to lean on sometimes. And in this house, there are single moms who need someone to mentor their children. Come on, to come alongside of them. There are foster families who need people to wrap around them in this journey. Come on, more than that, in this house today, there is someone sitting on your row who needs what you have and you need what they have. Come on, we carry each other's burdens. Just look down your row and say, you can lean on me. Come on, you can lean on me. You don't know what somebody walked into this house carrying today. You don't know what their struggle is today. We can't all do everything, but we can do something for someone. Maybe it was your smile. Where's all of our greeters at? Can we give a hand to all of our greeters? Maybe it was your smile that encouraged somebody when they walked in the door today. Man, I wasn't gonna share this story, but I feel like I need to. I think about a time when I was caring for my mom, and I don't have the time to go into details, but it was intense, y'all. We didn't sleep, and it was just a struggle. It took everything that we had to get to church. Anybody ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. It took everything we had to get here this morning. And I'm telling you what, before I could get out of the car one day, it was all that we had to get here. Before I could go around to get my mom, Mr. Blaine was on the golf cart and he had already picked her up and took her to the door. And before I could get to the door, oh, Miss DJ was standing at the door hugging my mom. She took her and she walked her right into this side right here. And before I could catch up with Miss DJ, Miss Beverly had her arm around my mom and she was walking with her. I took a picture of it. If I knew I was going to share this, I would share this because it meant everything to me. She carried my mom. She said, I'm going to find you a seat. And I'll be honest with you, I laid myself back there on the floor and I wept in that moment. Because it was all that I could do and I couldn't carry it myself. But you don't know what your hug might mean to somebody today. You don't know what your ministry might mean to someone today. You think, oh, I'm just saying good morning. Well, that good morning might mean everything to somebody. Come on, the praise and worship that day is what I needed to encounter God's presence, to walk out and to fight the battle again. Anybody understand what I'm talking about in this house today? And Paul says in verse 2 of this text, as he's addressing the family, he says, share each other's burdens. And in this way, you will obey the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's found in Galatians 5:13 and 14. It says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Come on, whatever you know you need, that's what somebody else needs. Come on. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Come on, we're not going to destroy one another. We're going to build each other up in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's no selfishness, not in this house. Amen? In God's family, we are not only consumers, we are contributors. Come on, you are put here for a purpose. You have something to offer. Come on, there are times when I need help and I got to ask for help. Come on, just bust that pride right now. There are some of you that need help and you have been ashamed to ask for help. But then there's times that I give help. Come on, we like those times better. But there are seasons when we need help and seasons when we give help. Times when I'm weak and you are strong, and times when you are weak and I am strong. Come on, we all do our part. That's what a family does. There are strength in numbers. God told Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? I want you to know today that God didn't bring you into this family to be alone. Come on, if you say, well, nobody talks to me, nobody helps me, I'm all alone. If you need a friend, be a friend. Sometimes you just have to start meeting other people's needs. Come on, sometimes you just got to start sowing into someone else's life and God will fulfill what you need in your life. Come on, there are some people in this room and you are fighting insecurities. Man, there's someone God's put on your heart to talk to invite them, to invite their kids and your families to play together at the park. Just go ahead and invite them. Come on now. Come on, some of you have been looking and you say, I just feel like that person needs something from the Lord. Maybe they just need me to pray for them. Well, go ask them if you can pray for them. Come on, move your insecurities out of the way. Be a friend. Come on, in this house, we serve one another. We stand up for one another. We carry each other and we share the load. I think about Jesus, how he sent his disciples out in twos. He sent them out. Now you think there was 12, they could have went to 12 places. If they went alone, they could have did more. But Jesus said, no, there's power in going two by two. What? The power was companionship. The power was protection. Come on, they got each other's back. The power was accountability. The power was camaraderie. Come on, they build each other up. They encourage each other. I think about the men who carried the lame man and they bust through the roof to get to Jesus. Come on, we all need people to help carry us when we can't walk by ourselves. Come on, when we are sick and wounded, come on, we can't get to our healing on our own. We need people that will carry our mat. Amen? I think about Paul and Silas in the prison. They were there together. And what did they do? They started complaining about how bad it was, right? This is the worst prison we ever been in. They had been beat up. They had been broke down. No, that's not what they did. The Bible said they start praising the Lord. Sometimes you need a praise partner. Come on, take your neighbor by the hand and shake them up. Say, will you be my praise partner? Come on, sometimes we need somebody to encourage us in the Lord. Just give God some praise right now, right? Come on. When I get in this house on Sunday morning, sometimes you'll find me giving God a radical praise. Sometimes it's because I need a breakthrough, but sometimes it's because I know someone in this room needs a breakthrough, and I'm going to praise on your behalf until you break through. Come on, we need a praise partner. As a family, we do life together. The Bible says in Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. That means we get excited when other people receive their blessing. Come on, send them a congratulation card. Have a victory shout on their behalf. Don't be jealous. Don't be hating. Come on now. Even if it's taken you 5 years to get what they got in 5 days, go ahead and give God a praise and rejoice with those who rejoice. And we must pour love on those who are going through a hard time. Come on, even if you don't know what to say, just be there. Come on now. In every house, there are family struggles and there are family strengths. Are you glad that we are stronger together today? But not only that, the third thing that we see here today is that there are family seasons. Every family goes through seasons. Come on, we all walk through different times in our lives and in our family, in our seasons. Those of you who have been married know that there are different seasons in your marriage. Come on, those who are parents. Come on, I have 4 kids. I have a 15-year-old who's learning how to drive. I have an 11-year-old who's into the sports life, right? I have a 6-year-old, come on, who's just starting to figure it out. And I have a 1-year-old. So we are all in different seasons at the same time. Y'all pray for me. But parents, you know that there are different seasons. Come on, the baby stage of sleepless nights. Anybody there today? Come on, those seasons of dating and driving and sports, the empty nest season. I haven't got there yet. I'm not looking forward to that one. Come on, the empty nest season. There are different seasons in parenting. That's why no one has mastered it yet. Come on now. Because just at the moment you figure it out, they go and change on you. That is so true. In every family, there are seasons of new beginnings. Come on, there are seasons of transition. There are seasons of joy and excitement, and there are seasons of loss and heartbreak. Every family. Change is a part of life. Seasons can either pull you apart or bring you closer together as a family. If you find yourself disconnecting during a difficult season, then you might have only been in it for what you could get out of it. Come on, it's time to pull closer. Come on, it's time to get in the fight with somebody. Not in a fight, in the fight. Unless they're messing with your kids, then you have permission to get in. I'm just kidding. A real family stays faithful in every season. Come on, a family leans in. No matter what season you are in, make sure you are sowing the right things for the next season. Come on, in my kids' lives, not only am I trying to navigate where we are, I'm trying to set the foundation for where they're going so that when they get there, they'll already know what to do. When they get there, they're already going to have victory in Jesus' name. Come on, you're not just living in the season that you're in. You're not just navigating this moment. You're sowing into the next season. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, don't be misled in our verse today as he's talking to the family. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Come on, you always reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired or weary. Come on, in those sleepless nights. Come on, when things aren't going like you want it to go. Come on, don't get tired or weary, even just if things feel mundane. Come on now. Don't get weary. Don't get tired of doing what is good, because just at the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Come on, stick with it. Come on, are you sowing doubt, fear, and discord, and negativity into your next season? Or are you sowing faith, hope, love, peace, and joy into your season? The right time is translated in the King James Version, due season. Come on, it says in due season, in his season, in their season. How many of you know this is our season? Okay, a few of you believe that. Come on, this is our season. It's a kairos season is what it's translated. The word kairos, which means the right time, a due measure, a definite period, a time or season, or an opportune time. How many of you know that you walked into an opportune moment, an opportune season when you walked into the house today? It's also connected to the word chronos. And when I think of chronos, I think of the word chronological. Come on, there's an order to the seasons. Come on, there's a time to till, a time to plant, come on, to sow, a time to water, a time to wait, and a time to reap. And so many times, we want to get things out of order. We want to plant and reap all in the same season. Come on, but there's a process, there's a chronos. Come on, there's an opportunity for every moment and every season. So we have to get things in order. Get your house in order. Don't try to jump from point A to point D. If you do things out of order, either you won't last when you get there because you won't be prepared for where you're going, or it won't last because it won't be built on the right processes and the right things. Every step and every season is necessary. Let's get it in order. Come on, somebody shout, get it in order. In this house, we sow life and not death. Come on, we declare blessings and not curses. Come on, even if someone in your house is acting crazy, don't tell them how crazy they're acting. Say, you are blessed and highly favored. Come on, let's declare blessing over their life. You're a child of God. You're a world changer. Just go ahead. Don't talk about where they are. Sow into where they're going in Jesus' name. God's going to use you in a mighty way. Come on, in this house, we declare faith and not fear. Come on, that's who we are. In Calvary, this church has been through some seasons. We've come a long way. Hallelujah. I've been in this family at this church since I was 5 years old. None of this even existed. Now I just sound like an old person. Back in my day, this was all woods. We met over on US 1. That was our church, and that's a fact right there. And the church was thriving and growing at the time. And there were so many wonderful things that God did. But if you've been through Girl Track, I talk about this all the time. But the church went through a difficult season. Come on, there was division. Come on, there were some failures. There was different things that happened. Financially, it was in a rough place. And we were looking for a pastor. And thank God, out of his mercy and goodness, that he sent Apostle and Pastor Don to Calvary. Come on. There was a handful of people, come on, the Freemans, y'all were there, who believed that there was a better season. Who believed that this wasn't the end of the story. Come on, that there was another season to come. And they believed by faith. And Apostle and Pastor Don came in here, and they started declaring to this disjointed, messed up church that we're going to be a house of unity. And look what it is today. Come on, they started looking at this church that was wide and uptight. Come on now. And they said, this is going to be a church that's diverse and full of the Spirit and the presence of God. And look what we are in today. Come on, they started sowing into the season that we're walking in today. They started sowing by faith into where we were going, and we are here today. But I want you to know something, we're not done yet. Come on, we are sowing into the next season for Calvary. Come on, we are sowing into the next season for your life. Does anybody believe that with me today? Come on, we are living in what we believe for the last season, but we're sowing in what we believe God wants to do and make us this an Acts chapter 2, last days revival church. Come on. We are believing that this is a discipleship house. This is a place where people grow in Christ. This is a place where relationships go deep. Come on, this is a house of the presence of God. This is a church where we give generously in Jesus' name. This is a church that's debt-free. Can you believe that with me today? Can we sow into our next season? Come on, stand up on your feet right now if you believe. Can somebody just take a minute, find your praise partner, and praise God into your next season. Praise God that your children are saved. Praise God that your house is debt-free. Come on, just thank God that that situation has turned around. Come on, just begin to sow into your next season. Just begin to give God a praise. Hallelujah. Now, we haven't done this in a long time, but y'all know Apostle does this from time to time, and I just felt like we got to do it. Can you just turn around one time? Come on, God's about to turn your situation around, okay? Can you turn around one more time? Come on. Come on, if you believe it. Come on, one for the Father, one for the Son. But we got to turn around one more time for the Holy Ghost. Can you? That's what God is doing in your situation. He's turning it around. Every disappointment, every sorrow, he's bringing victory, he's bringing joy, he's bringing salvation, he's bringing life, he's bringing breath, blessing. Can you bring it forth in this house today? Hallelujah. This is our season. Remain standing all over the room. This is a season of greater hunger. A season of greater discipleship, a season of deeper relationships, greater impact in our community and around the world, greater resources. Come on, family, do you believe that today? God is faithful in every season. That doesn't mean everything is going to be perfect along the way. That doesn't mean that there won't be struggles. That doesn't mean that there won't be things that we have to overcome. Come on, but we're gonna do it together. We're gonna pull in. We're gonna lean in. We are a household of faith, a family of faith today. In verse 10, he says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Come on now. Come on now. This is our opportunity. This is your opportunity today. This is our Kairos moment, our opportune time This is our season. In this house, we embrace opportunities to do good, to connect deeper, and to reach our community. Come on, what's that next step that you're supposed to take? If it's reaching out to that person, if it's going through growth track, whatever it is, take the opportunity to pour into the household of faith. And you'll find, just like me, I've been here 40 years, that every time I pour out, He pours so much more. Come on, He puts people in my life that are a blessing to me more than I deserve. He brings goodness in my life. Man, I love you so much. Every person in this room, I can't do everything, but I'll do all I can. I hope you know that. And if we all do all we can, then we're gonna be all right, amen? We're not gonna just be all right, we're gonna walk in victory. This is a household of faith today. It's faith that connects us. It's faith that brings us together. It's faith that keeps us together. Come on, it's not our social status or ethnicity, our background, our personalities that makes us a family. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. That's the glue. That's the glue. Our faith in Jesus. So in this house, we trust in God. In this house, come on, it's a house of faith. We believe in miracles. In this house, we overcome. In this house, we walk by faith, we give by faith, and we serve by faith. So get in the house, stay in the house, serve in the house, sow in the house, and you're gonna grow in this house. Amen. If you believe that, give God a praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Can you just lift your hands all over this room right now? Oh God, I just thank you for what you're doing in this house right now, Holy Spirit. Lord, I believe that today is a precursor to what is about to unfold in this house. Even as Apostle and Pastor Don prepared to come back, Lord, even as we've been speaking with them, they are so full of vision. They're coming back with such clarity and direction for this house, Lord. So prepare our hearts, God, to receive what is about to be unlocked over these next few weeks and months, God. What is about to be unlocked, Father God, in this season. Lord, prepare us right now, Father God. Begin the conversation even in this moment, Father God. As they come in back into this place, Father, that they're gonna find a family and a people who are ready for what you wanna do. And we thank you for it, Father. If you're in this room today, I'm gonna rewind for a moment. Just close your eyes and search your heart for a moment. If you're in this room today, and you're in this family, and you are struggling with sin, you are struggling with tendencies, you could even be struggling with things like depression, and you've been carrying it by yourself. Today is the day of your freedom. Today is your Kairos opportune moment to confess your sins to Jesus and to a believer that will pray you through. Can we just take a minute and pray right now in the Holy Spirit? Because the enemy wants to bring condemnation that will hinder you. But as we pray in the Spirit right now, he's bringing conviction, and the conviction will draw you to this moment that you need. Come on, just pray right now. We're a family. There's people in our family today that need you to pray. The effectual prayer of the righteous avails much. Can you pray for somebody right now? Lord, we pray for those who are struggling. Lord, we pray, God, that you would remove pride from their heart, self-sufficiency, anything that would stand in their way, Father God. Status. Oh, I can't because of my status. I can't because what people will think. I can't because of my title. I can't. Oh, we break that in the name of Jesus. Come to the cross today. Come to your place so that you may be healed. It says, confess your sins that you may be healed. Your healing starts today in this house. Today is your opportunity, your moment. The Holy Spirit is pulling you and drawing you. He's speaking to you. This is God's mercy for you. This is God's mercy for you and his great love for you, that he would give this opportunity to you because he doesn't want you to carry this burden anymore. This is your opportunity. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, searching your hearts, if you're here today, and maybe you've already been saved. Like I said, maybe you have a title that you carry. It doesn't matter who you are. You could come from off the stage. You could come off from off the camera. You could come from the back, from the sides. It doesn't matter. If you need to repent today, right now, raise your hand all over this room. You say, I need to repent. I need to confess my sins. Raise your hand. Come on, you've been dealing with some things. Your spouse doesn't even know, but today is the day to confess your sins. Come on, you're in this room and you've been dealing things. You've been carrying, you've been trying to break free on your own. Raise your hand if that's you. All over this room, don't be ashamed. Don't let the enemy stop you. Come on, today is the day. If you have your hand raised, I'm gonna ask my altar team to come up first. Altar team, just begin to move out and come up right now. If you're in this room today and you're struggling with sin, we have someone who has been trained, who has been covered, who we can trust, that you can trust to pray with you today and to help you, that you can tell them what you're dealing with. They're not gonna go tell everybody else. They're gonna talk to God on your behalf today. So if you have your hand raised, or even if you didn't raise it, but you know you need to come, I want you to make your way to the front right now. Come on, make your way to the altars right now. If you need to repent, if you need God to forgive you, come on, if you need restoration, I don't care. If you've been here 25 years, if you're on this staff, it doesn't matter. Come on, come to the altar today. There is repentance, there's salvation in this house. Come on, there's more people all over this room. We're not gonna judge you. We're a family, we're gonna help you. We're not gonna judge you, we're a family. We're gonna restore you. It's time to get yourself back. Come on, you've been out of place. Even in your own house, you have felt out of place. Even in your job, you have felt out of place because of what you're carrying. I'm almost pleading with you today. There are more in this house. You need to come. There is room at the cross for you. This is a new beginning. This is a place of hope for you. Come on, I believe there's more. I believe there's more. Come on, I believe there's more. Come on, if you need to come, come. Come on, you could be in an outreach team. It don't matter. Just come. Come on, you could be a small group leader. It doesn't matter, just come. Come on, they're coming. Can you clap as they come? Can you celebrate their new beginning as they come? If you're on the Calvary staff, if you're on the Calvary staff, I want you to come up and stand with these. If you're on a Calvary staff, if you're on the front row here, can you come up and stand with people? Come on, just begin to stand with them as a family. Don't let anybody stand alone. Come on, don't let anybody stand alone. Come on, I believe that there's deliverance that's happening here this morning. Come on, confess your sins. Just begin to tell them what it is. Come on, go ahead and tell them. It might be difficult, but tell them. Come on, what does the Bible say? You who are spiritual, you gotta pray. So can you pray? Come on, there's more coming right now. As they come, I need your help. I need the help of our staff. I need the help of our team. Come on, if you've been saved and you're mature in the Lord, come on, let's pray for these. Can we lift up a prayer meeting? Come on, there's deliverance happening in this house. This is not your usual altar call. There's deliverance happening right here. Come on, family. Come on, family. If you need to come, the door is still open. If you need to come, come. Come on. Come on, teenagers. Come on, if you're a young person in this house and you got to get some things right. Come on, young adults. If you're a young adult and you're battling, don't care about what your friends are going to think. Come on, don't care about what your friends are going to think. Your family loves you. Jesus loves you. Come on, somebody stand with them if they're at the altars. Come on, don't let them stand alone. Come on, tell them what it is. Confess your sin. Tell them what it is. Break the cycle. Break the cycle in the name of Jesus. Cycles of addiction are broken. Cycles of shame are broken. Cycles of guilt are broken. Come on, pray. Pray, family. Pray. The fervent prayer. Not the cute prayer. The fervent prayer of the righteous. The fervent prayer. God deliver them. God set them free. Break every yoke, Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain. We have these tablets up here, these, if you want to get their cell phone number, whatever it is. Because we're not going to let you walk alone. Now, if you're not going to call them, don't take their number. Give it to somebody else. But we need those who are willing to walk it out. Come on, this is the beginning of your journey of restoration. So altar workers, prayer, those who are praying, our staff, make sure you get the information of that person so that you can hold them accountable, that you can pray for them, that you can walk with them, that you can help them. Don't let them do it alone. Come on, don't let it end in this moment. Reach out. I'm counting on you, altar workers. I'm counting on you, prayer team. I'm counting on you to walk alongside these precious people, our family today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just thank God? Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Don't let them leave without getting their information. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One more time, the door is open if you need to come. If you need to come. If you need to come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't think in your head, well, I'll talk to so-and-so after, because you won't do it. This is your opportune moment. This is your due moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, la, 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 ma, shi, di, 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 ama, come. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord, for freedom in this place today. Can you do something, family? Can you just reach across the aisles and just touch your neighbor on the shoulder all across this room today? Come on, we're a family. Hallelujah. This is our season. Declare. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to see. I have a reason to worship. Come on, just sing it together today. All of my life, in every season, you are still God.
I have a reason to.
can agree. Say, Lord, I bless them in Jesus' name. God, I pray, Lord God, that this would be a season of blessing and favor in their lives. Lord, I declare over them, God, that they will not have to carry the load on their own. I declare, God, over their lives that they will walk in blessing and favor and purpose. God, I declare over them today the joy of the Lord. I declare over them the strength of the Lord. Come on, bless your family today. Lord, I thank you today, God, every good and perfect gift is for them. I thank you today, Father God, that as we walk out of here today, we walk out of here with a greater unity, Lord, a greater transparency, a greater freedom. And Lord, this is our season. Come on, declare, this is our season. In Jesus' name, can you give God a praise if you believe it? Come on, familia de fe. Come on, family of faith. Listen, Apostle and Pastor Don are going to be back next week. It's going to be so powerful. You don't want to miss it. But don't wait till next week to reach out to somebody, to pray for somebody, to love somebody. Our altar workers are going to stay here. And if you need to come, you come. We love you so much. Have a blessed day.
Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.